Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. Shout out to all the underdogs that go along on the journey every Sunday, live from noon to 1 p.m. Appreciate you. As always here, we explore how underdogs get our swagger back in today's society and culture. And we do it from all the un-perspectives. You know, the unavoidable, the unbelievable, underrated, the unjust, the unsaid, the unconventional, and more underdog stuff. And to take you on that journey, hosted by me, Gregory Neesmith, certified coach, business consultant, content creator, and when it's all said and done, into spreading special stuff. And always the topics inspired by current events, some old events, some turnarounds at work, some turnarounds that didn't. I think there's always something to learn in both the successes and the failures. Also, topics inspired by our personal lives and just a pinch of politics. With that, today's episode 83, and I think we'll call it Who You Rolling With? Who you rolling with? Who am I rolling with? You know, everybody's out here forming some type of team. Everybody's teaming up. There's super teams, super friends, superheroes, all types of stuff going on. AT&T merging with Time Warner. Superheroes merging together. Just saw the Avengers the other day. Kevin Durant teaming up with the Golden State Warriors. Shoot, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, I think, kind of teaming up with Donald Trump. All types of teams going on. And throughout the show, I'll keep asking each of us the question, who you rolling with? Who am I rolling with? It could be the difference between whether we get our swagger back or not, whether we keep our swagger or we lose it in today's society and culture. And always, we'll attack it from all the angles. Let's get into some of the unavoidable news going on before we dive into some of the swagger back commandments. You know, everybody's teaming up. And when I think about some of the unavoidable news going on, I saw recently that AT&T is going to be merging with Time Warner. Big. AT&T is going to buy Time Warner, turning AT&T into a giant company. And this is sure to have an impact on you, on me, on all of us. And it was in jeopardy of not happening. It looked like the government was saying that maybe they would be too big, too much power, too much for the company and not enough freedom for us, the consumer. But as it turns out, a federal judge approved the merger of these two companies, dismissing the Trump's Justice Department's antitrust concerns. Like I said, everybody's teaming up. AT&T is teaming up with Time Warner. And it'll put AT&T in a unique position to leverage Time Warner's programming and help it, you know, compete against the likes of the Netflix and the Comcast out there. And I get it. Companies are teaming up, a lot of mergers and acquisitions going on, because it could be the difference between whether a company's growing or whether it's dying or whether it's gone. I saw something recently that said the average lifespan of a Fortune 500 company used to be around 67 years. 67 years a Fortune 500 company would last. Now, 15. Not only are companies having a struggle getting their swagger back, they're having trouble keeping it. And next thing you know, they gone. One of my other cautionary tales is Netflix and Blockbuster. Blockbuster didn't figure things out. 13 years later, it was gone. And now a lot of you who listen to the show don't even know what I'm talking about when I say Blockbuster. And so it's got me thinking, again, who am I rolling with? Who are you rolling with? Because it could be the difference between being here today and being gone tomorrow. But that's cool. You know, companies are companies. And they feel sometimes, at least to me, a little larger than life. I mean, I know I can learn stuff from companies, but it helps when things get a little bit more down to the individual level. So it got me thinking about individuals who make also business choices about who they're rolling with. They're super teams or super friends, superheroes, so to speak. And it made me think about one of my favorite sports. And one of my favorite sports is basketball. We playing basketball, balling. I love basketball. I still play it to this day. Shout out to the folks that I play with on Saturday mornings. I miss you guys this weekend, but I'll be back at it next weekend. And one of the big unavoidable news stories of this summer was, where is LeBron James, the king? Where is he going to play? A lot of people credit Magic Johnson and Larry Bird for saving the NBA. A lot of people credit Michael Air Jordan for modernizing and marketing the NBA and taking it global and showing folks that NBA athletes can not only play ball, but also make companies and people lots of money. And then a lot of people said that LeBron James has helped mobilize the game and player mobility. A lot of people get on LeBron, I think in a bad way, about his choice over the past few years to team up with different players and different organizations so he can put himself in the best position to win. In the NBA, they call it forming super teams. LeBron took his talents from Cleveland to Miami to go play with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and form a super team, and it worked. He did what we ultimately want to do in our professions, right? Get to the top, be the best. He won a couple championships there. Then he went back to Cleveland to form a super team there. Won a championship, got to the top. Was one of the best in his profession. And then this summer, everybody's like, where's LeBron going? Where's LeBron going? Where's LeBron going? Who's he rolling with? And LeBron James chose the Los Angeles Lakers. And it's interesting. I think he chose them for basketball reasons, but I think he also chose them for bigger than basketball reasons. There's the entertainment industry in Hollywood out there. Also, there's this awesome high school basketball team that his son, who's very good at basketball, will get to play with or play for. It's a place where he has already some homes and his wife and his family enjoy being out there. And so all this thought put into who he's rolling with. And at the same time, what caught my attention too is every day on all the sports shows and amongst a lot of my friends, we were all wondering, where's LeBron going? Who's he rolling with? How's he going to make his decision? What's he going to do? This, that. And just every day, we all consumed about LeBron's decision about who he's going to be rolling with. And to me, it struck me that it's amazing how much attention we as underdogs and me personally pay attention to these things like, what's AT&T and Time Warner going to do? Where's LeBron going? Who's he rolling with? And it got me to thinking, when it comes to us underdogs getting our swagger back, rediscovering our special stuff, are we spending enough time scrutinizing? Intentionally figuring out who are we rolling with? Because it could actually be the difference of whether we survive or not. That AT&T and Time Warner merger could be the difference whether they're still here tomorrow or whether they're going like Blockbuster. Where LeBron chose or chooses to team up with folks and build his own super teams with super friends and superheroes could be the difference between winning and losing. Quality of life. All those things. Let's talk about who you're wrong with from all the unangles. We talked about the unavoidable. Let's get into it from the 10 Swagger Back Commandments. We've all heard the sayings, right? You become like the five people you spend the most time with. Choose carefully. It's a quote from Jim Rohn. The idea of we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. Also, there's another it's an anonymous quote. As your life changes, so will your circle. It's a good one. Surround yourself with those who are on the same mission as you. Another good quote around who you're rolling with. And as many of you know, I've come up with this thing called the 10 Swaggerback Commandments. And they're really about how we rediscover our special stuff, exploring how underdogs find the reset button in life again and again so that we can get back on track and rediscover our special stuff. It's my story. It's your story. It's our story of how we turn things around. It's an underdog's perspective on how we get our swagger back and how we keep it. And it's 10 commandments. 1, Front Street to Swaggerback Boulevard. 2, who you rolling with? 3, stop kidding around. 4, refresh your GPS. 5, cream. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. 6, go out and play. 7, puff, puff, I'll pass. 8, spread love. It's the Brooklyn way. 9, start whenever, but definitely keep going. 10, the remix. But today I want to focus in on who you rolling with. Remember, ever have a time in your life when you keep saying you're going to do something, but you never quite seem to get around to it? Until finally someone new comes into your life. Remember that time? Right? That time. Talked about something for years. Never quite did it until someone new came into your life. I was with a bunch of friends near the end of 2014. And we're sitting around having a conversation about our goals for the following year for 2015. And, you know, I'll never forget each of us kind of looking at each other with a sense of hopefulness, but also at the same time, a bit of skepticism, right? We've all heard the stats. Majority of people's New Year's resolutions are gone, done, finito, out of here by about February or March. So most people don't even make it to the summertime going after their new goals and resolutions. Done before spring comes. So that's the backdrop. And everybody's going around saying a couple things that they're declaring that they're going to do in 2015. They're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to buy a house. I'm gonna... All their hopes and dreams going around one by one by one. Then they get to me. And I say to the group, in 2015, I'm going to launch a radio show. And I must say, even as I said it, I kind of didn't believe it, because that would have marked probably the almost 30th year in a row since I was a little kid and had this dream of having a radio show that I would say again, hey, guess what I'm gonna do next year? I'm gonna start a radio show. And then year after year after year, didn't happen. And as folks are going around after me saying theirs, it still felt like that same way it's felt every year before that, of me saying I was going to do it and just saying it and then not doing it. And so there was the next person would say something, blah, 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 blah. Next person would say something, blah, 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 blah. Next person. And then finally, it gets to this guy. His name's Nick. And Nick goes, I've always wanted to start a radio show too. How about we start one together? And he says it as he looks back over to me. And in that moment, in front of everybody in the room, Nick and I said, yeah, let's start a show together. Because clearly us saying we were going to do it all alone, individually, has produced nothing. I've been saying I'm having a show for something 30-something years, nothing. You've been saying you're going to have a show for something, some amount of time, nothing. So we said that night, we would start a show. We gave ourselves a 3-month deadline. We're going to have a show 3 months from now. We told everybody in the room. And then it was time to get off to the races. And then there was another friend of ours who was in the room that night. And even he said to us later, you know what? He'd be interested in having a show too. And then the next thing you know, over the next 3 months, Nick, Tommy, and myself worked on a show. And 3 months later, the Dudes of Disruption was born. And it was on internet radio on talkingalternative.com. Then also a podcast available. And the next thing you know, we created a men's group and coaching platform for it. And all of a sudden, something that I had dreamed of doing for decades finally became a reality. Because I was rolling with some new people. Shout out to Nick and Tommy for the partnership, being super friends, forming a super team, whatever you want to call it. I call it who you rolling with. And literally who we roll with could be the difference between the life we have and the life we want, being on Front Street or actually moving to Swagger Back Boulevard, getting our swagger back and then keeping it. Shout out to Nick and Tommy and the Dudes of Disruption, which, by the way, would eventually become a program and a show here on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. The show is no longer on the air here, but Nick carries the torch of the Dudes of Disruption. They still have a podcast, so search on iTunes and Podomatic if you want to hear that. And there's still a men's group in New York City. And I'm grateful that I was a part of starting those things. And even more importantly, I bring up the story because it's an example of me changing who I roll with to have a change happen in my life around something that I really, really wanted. And then fast forward to a few years later, I now get to live the dream of having my own radio talk show and grateful to do it with you, with Harlem, with New York City, and folks around the world who listen from the airwaves of WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. And also those who listen to the podcast. You can search The Greg and Nisma Show on iTunes, Spotify, Podomatic, Stitcher, Google Play, all that good stuff. So like I said, again, the question of the show, we're covering it from all the angles. Who are you rolling with to help you get your swagger back? And it's important. There's some science behind this. I was reading an article recently called Five Surprising Ways Your Friends Influence, How They Influence You. And it's backed by science. And basically the gist of it, friends influence the way we act. Strong-willed friends can increase our self-control. Having fewer friends can increase our likeliness to take financial risks. Too many social media connections can increase our stress levels. Close friends can be the secret to living a long time. All in all, friends who we roll with actually influences us, not just as like hearsay, but there's science behind it. One of the ones that caught my attention, and it hit me as I looked into this, about the story I shared about the radio show and the resolutions and having something happen that hadn't happened for a long time, is one of the things that's backed by science is that strong-willed friends can increase our self-control. If we struggle with resisting temptation, surrounding ourselves with people who have lots of self-control can help us out. Ever notice how you may have been working on getting in shape and you start to hang out with one of your good friends who's committed to the gym and eating right? You start to take on some of their habits. You start to get influenced by their self-control and discipline. Part of getting our swagger back is making sure we surround ourselves with folks who are committed to some type of goal, committed to discipline and self-control, because that's one of the secrets to getting our swagger back. Also backed by science, having close friends can be the secret to longevity. A study found that when older adults have close confidants, they're likely to live longer. And we talked about this last week. Having those close confidants allows you to share and be vulnerable. And we've heard that keeping secrets can kill you. So having people in your life that you can actually share your secrets, your hopes, your dreams with, I'm sure is one of the reasons why having close friends can be the secret to longevity. Also, having close friends can lower our risk of disease by reducing blood pressure, heart rates, and cholesterol. Go out and get yourself some close friends with some self-control and discipline. Part of helping you get your swag back. Also, a study found that friends often bond by providing one another with moral support to resist temptation. So friends influence our choices. Friends can also sometimes come to enjoy certain indulgences. So, you know, when it's all said and done, who you roll with is a big, big deal. And then also there's another part of science that says having a very good best friend helps us with our resiliency. So just be mindful of who you're rolling with. You know, we out here talking about AT&T and who's Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump partnering with. We out here talking about where's LeBron going, what super team he's going to be with. And are we taking much time? Are we taking as much time to focus on who are we rolling with? I'll leave you with a couple quick tips that have worked for me and I've seen work for some of my clients around this whole idea of our network and our super friends, our super teams. Just a couple things to keep in mind. Think about where you want to go in 2019. And I'm doing the same self-reflection right now. And then I'm going to really take a more intentional look at who do I get to hang out with that is aligned with where I want to go. And also, how can I, you know, be some reciprocity? How can I help them? They help me. We help each other get to where we want to go. And I don't think this is often said enough. So we talk about close friends, you talk about your coworkers, but there's three other additional folks I want you to be mindful of. And I'm going to be thinking about this too as I head into getting ready for 2019. Three people that I'm going to be looking to add to my life or make sure they're up to date, which is who's my therapist, who's my best friend, and who's my elder, my mentor. Because I think it's good to have the wisdom of those who've lived a little bit longer than us. I think it's good to have a best friend. I mean, science says having a best friend can literally put more years on your life. And then lastly, I think a therapist can help with some of the, just the foundational things that as underdogs, we get to continue to figure out how to unlearn and keep growing. Let me know. How much time and effort do you put into figuring out who you're rolling with? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just the only one that's just kind of going with the flow, but I'm going to be more intentional about it going forward. The un of the week, I'm curious. Is this unjust or just right? Part of who we're rolling with is, I think, also not just the company we keep, but also who we listen to. And in today's world, at least along the lines of politics, things have become very polarized. People on the left normally stick to people on the left. People on the right normally stick to people on the right. You listen to the Fox News if you listen to Fox News, and that's what you listen to. And if you listen to MSNBC, you listen to MSNBC, and that's what you listen to. Some have called this the echo chamber effect, this idea that we just keep hearing over and over again and listening to the people over and over again that agree with us and helps us become even more dug in with our perspectives and oftentimes don't have a more holistic view of potentially some other ways to look at some of the same issues, topics, things going on, especially in our society and culture, especially in politics. And so, you know, I think there's something to the fact that from a standpoint of who we're rolling with media-wise, it's important. I know I attempt to not just listen to progressive radio. I also listen to conservative talk radio. I do watch Fox News and I watch CNN and then I watch Bloomberg. I read the Wall Street Journal. I look at The Hill. I look at The Economist because I want to get a perspective that's wider than just potentially how I see things or just how the media outlets that I consume see things. I think it's worthwhile. And so it turns out there was this actor who thought it was worthwhile too. His name was Mark Duplass. And he sent a tweet saying that Ben Shapiro was a genuine person. He suggested that people should check out Ben Shapiro, who's a conservative podcaster and talk show host. And it turns out that some of Mark's followers or people who are mostly Democrats and folks who lean to the left was like, yo, Mark, you're bugging. What you doing? Why are you telling people to listen to Ben Shapiro? We don't do that here. Bad. Don't do it. Don't tell people to check out alternative points of view. And so Mark was like, man, I guess I better take that tweet down. So then Mark takes down the tweet where he was shouting out this conservative talk show host, Ben Shapiro. And then on top of that, issues an apology and kind of then goes in on Ben Shapiro. And this is Ben Shapiro's reaction to the news of this guy, Mark, who was trying to shout him out, then apologized, and then all of a sudden started talking bad about him. I think all in the span of like 48 hours.
Yeah, well, I think that Mark's a nice guy from what I can tell. He came into our offices a couple of months ago because he was doing a project about guns and gun control, and he wanted kind of the right-wing Second Amendment views. So he came in, we talked for about an hour and a half, and then he took off. I told him at the time that it's probably good that people don't know that we met, since folks in Hollywood are not particularly fond of people on the right, and any association with people on the right is not going to work out well. He sort of tweeted that out unsolicited. Like, I hadn't talked with him since that day, actually. And the blowback on Twitter was from a lot of his Hollywood friends, a lot of people on the far left. And just as we've seen many, many times, the sort of mob mentality rules on Twitter, and he promptly deleted that tweet after probably an hour or two. And then this morning, he put up a full apology. That was after I texted him last night, by the way, and told him that I didn't mind that he deleted the tweet, considering he still has to work in this town, and Hollywood isn't fond of people who are friendly to anybody across the aisle. He put up a full apology for ever having suggested that I was a nice person who had views worth listening to. So that was wonderful.
Underdogs. Today's episode, the theme is who you're rolling with, not just the company you keep, but also who you listen to. What media you out here consuming? Today's world is polarized, left first, right, black first, white, this first, that. Isn't it still all good to get some other perspectives? Was it unjust or just right that a lot of liberals, Democrats, folks on the left told Mark, dude, you can't be shouting out this conservative talk show host? Ben Shapiro made the dude take down the tweet and then issue some apology and go in on Ben. Is this unjust or just right? I'm curious, because I do think we as underdogs should be out here hearing other perspectives to reinforce our arguments, to get a sense of what's being said out there, to maybe find some opportunities on how we can turn things around. I mean, let me know your thoughts. Was Mark out of bounds? Was it unjust or just right that folks on the left went after him? Or is Ben Shapiro just a horrible human being and he should have never said anything? I tend to lean towards Mark. It should be okay for him to recommend that folks check out some alternative points of view. Now, maybe he didn't have to compliment him so glowingly, but I don't think he should be ridiculed or forced to take down some tweet just because he was like, hey, folks, check out this dude if you want to get a perspective that's different than yours. But maybe I'm the one who's just not following. Let me know. Unjust or just right. That was the under of the week. That it seems like no one can tell anyone to listen to alternative points of view without getting folks coming after you. Let me know what you think. Carol Ann says, it makes sense to have multiple points of view to get a clear picture of what's happening in the world. I agree with you. And Carol Ann says, it saddens me that Mark caved to peer pressure. Yes, he did. Not only did he cave, he deleted the tweet and then went in with another tweet, actually in a way now talking bad about Ben. So one moment Ben was good people, and the next minute Ben was like terrible. And that is definitely caving to peer pressure. With that, just want to say one unconventional thought related to this idea of who you're rolling with, and then we'll finish with the underdog spotlight of the week. It's not easy, right? Finding a network, finding friends, finding a social circle, finding a professional circle. And I know it can be daunting sometimes. And so just one unconventional thought, and it reminds me of this quote by Milton Berle, which is, if opportunity doesn't knock, build a door. And so as you go through your journey of getting your swagger back and going from Front Street to Swagger Back Boulevard, your new network may not just pop up overnight. You may not have that new circle that's rolling with you just yet. And so in the meantime, the unconventional thought is, go to YouTube, Google some stuff, go to the library, pay to go to a seminar or some of these free workshops. You can go start to build a network of people to learn from, to roll with, even before you physically, so to speak, have those new people that you can identify in your life. Join Facebook groups that are like-minded and headed where you're headed for 2019 and beyond. So there's some ways to get around it. Also, one other thought is, as our circles change, sometimes there's some people that we may not be as close to anymore, may not spend as much time with. And I wanted you to know that it's natural to feel maybe some type of guilt sometimes if you've moved on from some people, especially if there's people you've known for a long time. But I'll give you the best analogy I can give you, which helps me realize sometimes that things are going to be okay. I call it the family reunion thought, which is you go to your family reunion. It's family, right? Cousins, aunts, uncles, distant relatives. You see them, you hug them, you love them, you ask them how they're doing. Then you leave, and then there's years again before you see them. But during that time that you didn't see them, you still love them. You were still rooting for them. You might even say a prayer for them every now and then, but it's all good. You live in your life, they're living yours, and you still love them. And just know there's going to be some people in your circle now who may not be there tomorrow. And just know that it's okay to still love them from afar, to root for them, pray for them. And then whenever you do get to see them again, to pick up where you left off, hug them, love them, break bread with them, enjoy their company. And then when that family reunion is over, go back to doing what you're doing, and they'll do the same, and everything will be okay. You can love people from afar. It's all good. With that, as always, we end every show with the underdog spotlight. Sometimes that'll be a guest, and sometimes it'll be a name that underdog. And this week, we're going to name that underdog. Can you name this underdog?
By me being able to put something like this together, I want people to know that these kids should still have the same opportunity as everyone else. And that's what's most important.
Can you guess who that is? Can you name that underdog? I'll play one more clip.
So us as adults, we have a responsibility to not let these kids down, to continue to be the teachers, the mentors, the parents, the coaches, the life studies, the life skills, whatever it is, the inspiration, the superheroes, everything, that's our responsibility, because these kids are our future, and they have dreams that's bigger and greater than the city of Akron, than the state of Ohio, than the United States of America. So in closing, thank you so much. I love you too, man. I really do.
If you don't know who I'm talking about, underdog spotlight of the week goes to LeBron King James. Mister, I'm so glad you didn't shut up and dribble, which is what Miss Laura Ingram of Fox News said about you a couple of months ago. That was LeBron James, and he was talking about a new school that he opened in Ohio called the I Promise School, and to be more specific, opened in Akron, Ohio. And speaking of who you're rolling with, who you teaming up with, LeBron teamed up with Akron city government, public school system, and he opened the I Promise School for at-risk youth in Akron, Ohio. The school is a public school that has programs to help keep at-risk youth out of trouble. LeBron James came from a pretty rough background, and it has been his goal to help at-risk youth succeed. And this is another step in that direction. It's a public school. It also provides services to not just the students, but also to the parents. And it's very cool. Just shout out to him. Here are some of the things that make the school great. It's a public school. The school runs from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. July through May. During the summers, it will provide STEM-based camps. Nutrition is also very important at the school. Every day, the students will receive free breakfast, lunch, snacks, and drinks. The school will offer GT classes and job placements for parents and guardians. If students successfully complete the school program and graduate from high school, James will cover their full tuition at the University of Akron. Who you rolling with? I'm rolling with LeBron James. Oh, by the way, just in from the underdog stuff, underdog delegation, we have a new GOAT. We have a new greatest of all time. I know MJ, Michael Jordan, is considered the GOAT by many, but he also believes that Republicans buy Nikes too. And for a long period of time, seemed to focus a lot on capitalism and basketball. And what I love about LeBron is that he focuses on basketball, capitalism, and social justice. And so my new GOAT, the greatest of all time, both on and off the court as an NBA ball player, if I have to pick a tiebreaker between guys who are just as talented as one another and won championships and things like that, I'm voting for the guy as the GOAT that does stuff for underdogs both on and off the court, and that would be LeBron the King James. Shout out to LeBron, our underdog spotlight, for opening up the I Promise School. And you know, we cover the uns here, so a bit of an underreported story that I also want to mention in conjunction to LeBron and his new I Promise School is to shout out another NBA ball player who 7 years ago founded a school, and that was Jalen Rose. Shout out to Jalen Rose. Some may know him as the Fab Five. He played at Michigan and then would play in the NBA and currently hosts some shows on ESPN. But Jalen Rose opened the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy back in 2011. It's an open enrollment, tuition-free public charter high school on the northwest side of Detroit. The academy provides leadership-focused education that engages and inspires youth to achieve at the rigorous levels necessary to ultimately graduate with a college degree. So shout out to our underdogs who are helping other underdogs, LeBron James and Jalen Rose. With that, we've reached the end of episode 83. It flies by. Shout out to all the folks who participated, commented on the Facebook Live, to all the folks who are listening both in Harlem, in New York City, and around the world. Appreciate you. You know what we do here. We help underdogs explore how we get our swagger back in today's society and culture. Also, shout out to the folks who make the show possible. That would be you, but then also Megan, live show producer, and Kayla, the podcast editor. And I just want us to really hopefully leave today's show being more mindful, more intentional about who we're rolling with, because it really can be the difference between whether we get our swagger back or not, and if we have it, whether we keep it or not. I'm going to be doing a lot of thinking about who I'm rolling with going forward. With that, if you want to find out more about what I do in the world, some of the business consulting, some of the coaching, content creating, you can go find out more about that at gregorynesmith.com, and you can find out more about my company, Underdog Stuff. And as always, we out here exploring how underdogs get their swagger back in today's society and culture. And I'll leave you with my favorite quote. And if you've listened to the show before, you know what I'm about to say, so you say it along with me. And it goes a little something like this. Underdogs, can't nobody do it. I mean, nobody. Can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.